Martin, and I'm with my wife Valerie. We're members of Gamblingay Baptist Church, but I'm actually studying at the Light College with Chris Duffett, and I work with Chris at Great Grandston and the work he's doing there. And I've just finished my second year of a degree in evangelism, theology, and mission. So I just want to share some things with you this morning that God's given to me. And my prayer is that you'll be blessed by God this morning, touching your hearts. So that's a little bit about me. Today's passage is Romans 8, 31 to 39. And if I could invite Tom to come up. Is that okay, Tom?
Yeah, sure.
And to read the scripture. Thank you, Tom.
Is that working?
Yes,
it is. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 onwards. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tom. Thank you. And last year sometime I was reading that passage and it struck me that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And I just started worshipping. Just really hit me. And this is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I want to share with you what God has opened up to me in this. Today's passage, there's a declaration. God is for us in Jesus Christ. And there's an assurance that God loves us in Christ. And these are two things I think we urgently need today. And I want to give you a bit of background to this. It's AD 57 and the Apostle Paul is in Corinth. He sorted the Corinth church out. He says, I've finished my missionary work all the way from Jerusalem to Greece to through Turkey and till Illyricum. And I had to look up, where is Illyricum? It's Albania and Kosovo and Montenegro and Serbia, Bosnia, Herzegovina, Croatia, Slovenia. I never imagined he made it that far, all along that Baltic coast. And he's sitting there in Corinth and he's thinking, Lord, where do I go next? And in the Roman Empire, he turns his thoughts to Rome. And Priscilla and Aquila had recently come from Rome. All the Jewish people had been excluded by the Emperor Claudius. They'd been banned. 40,000 Jews had to leave. And they join Paul in Corinth. And they tell him about the church in Rome. When Claudius died 3 years later, the Jewish people returned. But at that time, they found that the church had become completely Gentile. Gentile means anybody who isn't Jewish. They weren't meeting in the synagogue anymore. They're meeting in houses. And all the leadership were Gentile, which meant that some of the Jewish believers didn't agree with some of the practices that were going on. This church was split. It was split along ethnic lines. And Paul hears about this. And although Paul never planted this church, he writes to them. He introduces himself. He offers them wisdom for these troubled Christians and this divided church. And he wants to win their support to send him off to Spain. He's passing through that way. He's passing through Rome on his way to Spain. And more importantly, he wants to share the good news about Jesus Christ. He wants to explain to them, why do people need to hear this? How can they experience the gospel? What does the good news mean for our everyday lives and for our futures and for theirs? And this chapter, Romans 8, it sets up what the gospel means for all of us, not just them. It's a storehouse of blessings and an assurance that will change your life in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 begins in verse 1 to 4, and it talks about freedom from judgment. There is no condemnation if you are in Christ. When Jesus becomes your Lord, you have a right standing with God, and this means you can never be condemned. Verses 5 to 17, Paul writes about freedom from defeat because Jesus lives and he's for us. He lives in us and he enables us by his Spirit. Praise God. And verses 18 to 30, Paul writes about freedom from discouragement. Jesus has won a full and complete salvation for us. And this means that your eternal destiny is secure. It can never change. Praise God. And then in today's passage, verses 31 to 39, Paul talks about a freedom from fear. And Paul looks back and considers the greatness of what God in Christ has done. And he asks, what should we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And this is the first point. God is for us. But in fact, a better translation of this should be, since God is for us, who can be against us? And the answer to that is nobody. Can you join? Can you say nobody? Who's against us? Nobody. Well done. We're going to use that at the end. Okay, just store that. Just remember that. Paul wants all the Christians in Rome to realize that in Jesus, God is for us and not against us. And the Father proved this by giving us his Son. And the fact that God is for us, for Paul, changes everything. It means that we need not fear anybody, people, the enemy, only God. And it's in a sense of reverential fear and love and awe for who God is. And Paul's point is that evil will come against you. It will come against me. It will come against all of us. But it will not prevail. Because God is on your side and my side. Many will oppose us, but God is for us. And can you imagine anything greater than this truth? That's the first point. God is for us. And in the Reformation in the 16th century, there's a man called Philip Melanchthon. And I hadn't actually heard of him, but he worked really closely with Martin Luther. And he helped Martin Luther establish the Reformation, the Protestant breakaway. And he actually suffered tremendously. He went through some terrible things, and so did Martin Luther in doing so. But he always looked at Romans 8:31, when things got really tough. God is for us. And it lifted him, and it can lift us today. God is for us. And Paul asked four questions that lead us up to the second point right now. He asks in verse 32, how will the Father and the Son not give us all things? Paul says that if, when we were sinners, God gave his best, now we are children of God, will he not give us all that we need? Paul points to the cross. God demonstrates his love for us, that whilst we were still in sin, Christ died for us. This is a supreme act of love. And if you want to know God is for you, look at the cross. The cross assures us of the ongoing, unfailing love of God for us. Now, some of you might be thinking, I'm not good enough for God. He'll not save me. And do you ever feel that salvation is for everyone else, but not me? Well, then Romans is addressed to you. If God gave his Son for us, he is not going to hold back salvation. If God gave his life for us in Jesus Christ, he's not going to turn around now and condemn us. Jesus will not withhold anything you need to live for him. And Paul says that God doesn't save us to leave us. No, he's working out his plans and purposes for us in our lives, to conform us and change us, to become more like his Son, Jesus Christ. God deals with his own. He deals with us, not on the basis of law, but by grace. And Paul says this means God gives freely to his children, us. Question 2, verse 33. Paul asks, who then will accuse us? Those who God has chosen, the elect. Satan might like to accuse us about our sins and about our past and keep reminding us about it. Our consciences might accuse us. People may accuse us. But none of these allegations will stand. Why? Because if you are in Christ, Jesus has already paid the penalty for your sin and for my sin. God will never accuse us. God is the judge. And he's already declared us not guilty. And this, friends, is good news. This means that this decision will never change or be reversed. And this should bring us peace. Question 3, verse 34, Paul says, who then will condemn us? Our heart tries to. Critics try to. Enemies try to. Even demons. But their condemnation will fail. Why? Because the Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus died for us. The Father didn't spare his Son for us. He chose us. He justified us, and he shows such love for us. So why be afraid? And Jesus intercedes for us against dangers. He's praying for us that we're not even aware of. He's praying for us against threats that we may not even notice. And Jesus does not condemn those he died for. This means there is not one thing that you can do today or tomorrow, next month, next year, that will bring you back into condemnation. All has been covered and all has been paid for. This means we don't need to fear any future condemnation. And we can face God on the day of judgment with confidence. This means no matter how bad things are, you can be assured God loves you. And in 2017, I did a course at the King's Arms Church. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to go, but a friend wanted to go, and I said I'd go with them. And on the first night, they had a worship session, and they were insane. they were incredible, actually. And I came away thinking, I don't think I love God enough. I'm not like that. And I wasn't going to go back. I'm pretty sure that was it. It wasn't for me. But I was persuaded, and I thought, okay, I'll go the next day. I'll give it a go. And on the Saturday morning, God woke me up a little bit earlier, and he put in my head John 15. So I got out the Bible, I read John 15. If I abide in Jesus, then I abide in his love. I read that, and the word showed me, Jesus loves me, God loves me, he loves you too. But I thought, I know it's in the word, but I just wish he could tell me. Anyway, my friend picks me up, and we drive off to King's Arms, tell her about what happened in the morning. The leadership, there's 80 of us sitting in this room. The leadership go off and pray. They come back in. And then a man called Jake, with 80 people in the room, pointed to me. And he said to me, you, God adores you. He loves you. And what was really incredible, he then says, and there's something about music CDs, worship playlists. Does that mean anything to you? And I have to say, that message was from God, because I don't tell anybody this. I make worship playlists and CDs for my friends. And he could not have known that. There was no way he knew that. I don't tell people about it. And at that moment, I thought, man, God, you are amazing. And God loves you. And that is the next point that I want to talk about. Secondly, God adores you. God loves you. Paul says, who then will separate us from the love of Christ? He goes on to list 7 possible threats. He talks about troubles and hardship and persecution and famine, nakedness, danger and sword. 7 things that you may think God doesn't love you. Paul was shipwrecked. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was stoned and left to die. And he was imprisoned. He faced many, many dangers that challenged his faith. So can pain, can misery, can loss, can suffering and persecution separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Well, Paul's experience was nothing can. And this means we don't need to fear trouble, because Jesus' love is for us. It's so powerful that it means that we won't forsake him, even when trouble and hardship comes. Jesus' love for us is unwavering and everlasting. And in verse 36, Paul is quoting Psalm 44. It talks about God's people suffering in the Old Testament, despite having a right standing with God. Being in Christ doesn't mean that we will avoid suffering in our lives. But Psalm 44 reminds us that this is part of the Christian life. But God is not absent when we suffer. Jesus' grace is sufficient for us. He will not abandon us. And when you heard and believed the gospel, you were united with Christ. And that means suffering and persecution cannot separate you from the love of Christ. This is good news. God may not shelter us from the difficulties of life. He may permit trials to come. And ultimately, these may be for our own good and for his glory. But in the midst of these trials, we are always secure in Jesus' love. And we're under the sovereignty of God. Verse 37, this is why Paul declares, through all these difficulties, we are more than conquerors. And this word in the Greek literally means we're completely victorious. Or another translation is, we are super conquerors in Jesus Christ. Did you know that? You are a super conqueror. You are completely victorious over pressures that might lead us astray, over suffering that will test our faith. You are a conqueror. And whilst we may not be guaranteed immunity from temptation and trouble and tragedies, we are promised victory over them in Christ. We share in Christ's victory, and this means we need not fear life. And our confidence can be in God who loves us. Paul suffered rejection from his friends, persecution, isolation. He went to prison, but despite all of these circumstances, or whatever people did to him, he discovered a vital truth. And he says in verse 38-39, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Friends, what can separate you from the love of Christ? Not physical death, not life's troubles, nothing in all of our human experience and our existence will be able to do that. Death will happen to us, but it will not separate us from the love of God. What will separate us? Well, not spiritual beings, not angels, not demons, not cosmic powers, not spiritual power, not government powers. Nothing in the whole of the spiritual and physical world can. Jesus is superior. Nothing in all of history, not things present, not things to come, nothing in our past, our present, or our future circumstances can cause God to leave us. Not height of the highest heavens, not the depth of the deepest oceans. Nothing in heaven and earth, nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, including ourselves. Some scholars say we can choose to walk away. We can separate ourselves, but that is not what Scripture says. We're in creation. We are created. Scripture says nothing in creation can separate us. Paul says God the Creator and Jesus the Lord is over all creation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So when earthly trials come, or supernatural powers come against you, cannot separate you. God is going to be with you through those trials because we're in Christ. Nothing is strong enough, nothing is powerful enough to stop us from knowing and experiencing God's love. Nothing can undo what God has done for us. Nothing can thwart his purposes or affect our relationship with him, or stop his presence from being with us. Nothing can, so nothing will. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher, says that when Jesus was on the cross, he was nailed and he was bleeding and he was dying. And as Jesus looked down at the people who were betraying him and forsaking him and denying him, in the greatest act of love in history, Jesus stayed there. He could call down a legion of angels to rescue him. He chose to stay for you and for me. Jesus was willing to endure the agony so that we can spend eternity with him. He didn't abandon us then, and he won't abandon us now. But many of us struggle to believe that God can love us. Many of us believe we don't deserve it, or we don't deserve to keep it. But Jesus loves us as the Father loved him. He loves us. He always will. And this is our assurance. This is not a promise with conditions attached, that if you do this, God will do that. No. This is unconditional. This is a love beyond condition, a love beyond measure, a love that surpasses understanding. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. I've gone on a bit about that today, but please be certain of this. Let this sink deep down into your being and never forget this. I'm coming into land now. Romans chapter 8 opens with absolutely no possibility of condemnation. It closes with no possibility of separation. Paul gave the Roman church an assurance that would change their life. Verse 31, who can be against us? Nobody. Who can accuse you? Nobody. Who will condemn you? Nobody. Who will separate you from the love of God in Christ? Nobody. God is for us, and he loves us. And this is Paul's gospel to the Roman church and to us today. Believe it, receive it, rejoice in it, and celebrate this fact. Let the truth fill you with hope. Let the truth inspire you to devotion. Amen. Father, I thank you that you are for every one of us in this building. Thank you, Lord, for this great assurance that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you, Lord, that you love us unconditionally, and today we receive your love. Thank you, Lord, that your love never fails. It never leaves us. Lord, I pray, convince our hearts about all these truths. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. We're now going to have the final hymn today, and it is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Thank you, Phil. Thank you.